All right, let's dive in. We often talk about the future, but, well, it feels like it's being built right now, like really fast.
Yeah, breakneck speed, actually. And artificial intelligence, AI, it's just everywhere, isn't it? Touching like every part of our lives.
Exactly. So today, we really want to get into the heart of this. Who are the people actually building this AI future?
What are their big ideas, their visions?
Yeah, and where is all this tech heading? And maybe most importantly, what does it mean for, for us, for human
And
intelligence?
how we find meaning, right, in a world that's getting more and more automated.
Precisely. So to guide us, we're leaning heavily on Nexus, exploring the frontiers of intelligence, specifically issue 12 from July 8th, 2025.
Right. It's got some fantastic insights, direct quotes from the big names in AI development, plus analysis from Bond Capital on where AI is now and where it's going.
And there's also some really interesting research covered from Purdue University, Daniel Goleman, Fast Company,
See?
all looking at how human intelligence and value are changing because of AI.
A really rich mix of sources.
So our goal here really is to give you a shortcut, help you get properly informed about these huge shifts in AI.
Not just the what, but the why, right? Why it matters.
Exactly. And maybe figure out how we can all, thrive in whatever this new reality looks like. So let's try and unpack it all.
Okay. Where do we start? The people building it.
Yeah, I think so. The Nexus report jumps right in, highlighting four key people who, well, they argue these individuals have more sway over AI's direction than maybe any government.
That's a big claim. Who are we talking about?
Dimas Hassabis, the mind behind Google DeepMind. Sergey Brin, Google co-founder, who kind of famously came back just to focus on AI.
Right, I remember that.
Jan LeCun over at Meta AI.
Yeah.
And Sam Altman from OpenAI.
Okay, yeah, the heavy hitters for sure. And Nexus points out they don't all agree, right? They have pretty different ideas about how to get to like human level AI and maybe even beyond.
Radically different visions, yeah. And they're not just thinking about it, they are actively building it. What they think and do, it's literally shaping what comes next.
So when we talk about what they're building, we have to talk about large language models, LLMs. That's kind of the foundation right now.
Absolutely. And the scale is just mind-boggling. Nexus says typical LLMs train on around 30 trillion tokens.
30 trillion. And a token is like a word or part of a word.
Basically, yeah. The units of language the AI learns from, it adds up to something like 10 to the power of 14 bytes of data.
Wow. Okay, put that in perspective for us.
Well, Nexus has this stat. It would take you or me about 400,000 years just to read that much text.
400,000. Okay, suddenly my reading list doesn't seem so bad.
Right. But here's the key difference Nexus highlights, and it's crucial. A 4-year-old kid. By that age, they've processed roughly the same amount of data, 10,014 bytes, just through their eyes, through vision.
So it's not just text. Humans learn visually by interacting, building sort of abstract models of the world, not just crunching tokens.
Exactly. Which leads to some big questions about whether the current LLM approach is enough. In fact, Jan LeCun, one of the guys we just mentioned,
Yeah.
he apparently says in an interview in Nexus, he's, quote, not so interested in LLMs anymore.
Really? From LeCun? Wow. He thinks we need something fundamentally different.
Yeah, a better model for truly advanced machine intelligence. Nexus digs into his reasoning, pointing out the limits of just learning from text if you want real human-like understanding.
That's fascinating. So if LeCun is looking beyond LLMs, what about the others? You mentioned Hassabis and Brin.
Right. Nexus covers this great conversation between Dimas Hassabis and Sergey Brin, moderated by Alex Kantrowitz. They
Yeah.
talk about frontier models.
Frontier models.
Yeah.
So the absolute cutting edge.
That's the idea. The most advanced AI is being worked on right now. And they stress it's not just about making current methods bigger, scaling up. It's also about needing brand new ideas, real breakthroughs, especially if the goal is artificial general intelligence, AGI.
AGI, the kind of AI that can learn and think broadly, like a human, not just specialized tasks.
Yeah, exactly. And they really focus on the need for AI to develop, well, thinking or reasoning abilities, going beyond just recognizing patterns in data.
Which sounds like it connects to the challenges they face, like data quality.
Definitely. If you're feeding an AI trillions of tokens, the quality of that text becomes a massive headache, garbage in, garbage out, right, on an epic scale.
Makes sense. Are they talking pure theory or actual applications too?
Oh, applications too. They specifically mentioned robotics and smart glasses. So taking these advanced models and putting them into the physical world.
Interesting. Moving beyond just the screen.
Yeah. And speaking of big leaps, Nexus then brings in Sam Altman's perspective, this idea he calls the gentle singularity.
Okay, gentle singularity. That sounds optimistic. What's the core idea?
It's bold. Altman basically argues we've already crossed a major threshold with AI.
Already? How so?
He says systems like GPT-4 are already better than humans at many things, and they're massively boosting our productivity, even if we don't have robot butlers everywhere yet.
So the revolution is happening, just maybe more subtly than we expected.
Kinda, yeah. And he forecasts this future where intelligence and energy become almost, like, abundant. Super cheap.
How? Because of AI.
Exactly. AI accelerating science, AI improving itself, this recursive self-improvement loop leading to faster and faster progress.
That does sound incredibly optimistic. What about the downsides, like jobs? Does he address that in the Nexus piece?
He does maintain this positive view on society adapting, even with job displacement. But, and this is crucial, he flags two huge needs.
Okay.
One, we absolutely have to solve AI alignment, making sure AI goals match human values.
Right, the control problem.
And two, ensuring everyone gets access to this tech equitably. It can't just be for a few, so it's hopeful, but with serious conditions attached.
Got it. So we have these different visions, the state of the tech. What about the bigger picture, the strategy, the money? You mentioned bond capital.
Yeah, their overview in Nexus is like a roadmap. It connects what AI can do today with what might be possible tomorrow, looking at the practical side.
Yes, Messiah.
Exactly. They really zero in on the economics. Like the massive cost of training these big models, millions, potentially billions.
Wow, compared to the revenue they're making right now.
Which is often still quite small, comparatively. It creates this weird valuation situation. Look at OpenAI, valued at billions, but based mostly on future promise, not current profit.
That highlights the huge bets being placed. What about adoption? Is it spreading quickly?
Incredibly quickly, according to Bond Capital. Across all sorts of areas, businesses, schools, government, hospitals, law firms.
So it's not just tech companies using it anymore. It's becoming embedded everywhere.
Pretty much. Boosting productivity, driving innovation. But it also means the stakes are global.
The geopolitical angle. U.S. versus China.
Yep. Bond Capital analyzes that competition. The race for AI dominance is fierce. And they also point out another big shift. AI moving from just being digital things, like chatbots, to becoming physical agents.
Like self-driving cars, industrial robots.
Exactly. The AI is literally, you know, stepping out into the physical world.
Okay, so the tech is advancing incredibly fast. The money is flowing. It's becoming physical. What does this all mean for us, for people? How do we adapt?
Right. This is where the Nexus report shifts focus. It highlights some fascinating research from Purdue University.
What did they find?
They found that workers who feel threatened by AI taking their jobs, they're increasingly pinning their hopes on creativity.
Ah, thinking creativity is the one thing AI can't do. The ultimate human skill.
Sort of, yeah. The ultimate defensive skill, they call it.
Yeah.
Something less likely to be automated away.
So people are shifting focus, maybe learning creative skills instead of, say, coding.
That's what the research suggests. People are actually pursuing training in creative fields because of this belief.
But is that assumption safe? I mean, we're seeing AI generate our right music.
Exactly. That's the challenge Nexus raises. Even the idea that creativity is uniquely human is being tested. AI is getting remarkably creative.
So if creativity isn't the magic bullet, what is? What's left that's uniquely human and valuable?
This leads us to Daniel Goleman, the guy who really brought emotional intelligence, EQ, into the mainstream. Nexus features his perspective.
EQ, understanding and managing emotions, yours and others.
Right. And Goleman's core point is crucial.
Mm.
Unlike your IQ, which is relatively stable, EQ is something you can learn and develop.
Okay, that's hopeful. And he says it is vital, especially for leaders.
Absolutely. He breaks it down into four parts. First, self-awareness, knowing yourself, your emotions, your triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Second, self-management, controlling impulses, managing stress, staying positive. Third, social awareness, that's empathy, really understanding others' perspectives.
Crucial for teamwork.
And fourth, relationship management, building rapport, inspiring others, managing conflict. And the key is, Goleman says you can get better at all this at any age.
How? Through practice.
Intentional effort, practice. Our brains can change neuroplasticity. And leaders with high EQ, they create better work environments, their teams perform better, people stick around longer. It's not a soft skill. It's fundamental.
A real human advantage, maybe one AI can't easily replicate.
Which brings us to this really provocative article from Fast Company, also in Nexus. It basically argues that even IQ and EQ, They aren't enough anymore for leaders in the age of AI.
Whoa, okay. Not even EQ. Why not?
Their logic is pretty sharp. AI can already handle many knowledge-based tasks. That's the IQ part. And it's getting better at mimicking empathy, or at least assisting with EQ-related tasks.
So if AI can do bits of both, what's left for the human leader to uniquely provide?
This is the crux of it. Fast Company argues the real differentiator, the thing AI cannot do, is instill a deep sense of meaning and purpose in people's work.
Meaning and purpose. Okay, that feels profoundly human.
Right. They argue that meaning isn't logical, it's not data-driven, it comes from shared goals, vulnerability, feeling part of something bigger than yourself.
Things an algorithm can't generate.
Exactly. So how do leaders do this? By connecting the daily work to a larger mission, by protecting that sense of purpose, especially when things get tough, by constantly reinforcing why the work matters.
And this isn't just about feeling good, right? It drives results.
Absolutely. The article contends this is fundamental for engagement, performance, keeping good people. It may be the key leadership skill going forward. It suggests that purely transactional work, just doing tasks for pay, might be fading.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot to take in.
It really is. We've gone from the architects of AI like Hassabis, Brin, LeCun, Altman, and their different vision.
To the sheer scale of LLMs, the frontier models, the economics driving it all via bond capital.
The move towards physical AI, and then landed on what this means for us humans. Creativity, emotional intelligence.
And ultimately, this idea of meaning and purpose as the core human differentiator, it really feels like we're at this incredible crossroads.
A true intersection of human and artificial intelligence. And understanding all these pieces, the tech, the people, the human response, it isn't just, you know, interesting academic stuff.
No, it feels essential. Essential for figuring out how to navigate what's coming, how to adapt and hopefully thrive.
The insights from Nexus really give you a framework for thinking about that, for understanding what might be truly irreplaceable about being human.
Yeah. So it leaves you wondering, as intelligence itself, both human and artificial, keeps changing and expanding.
What does it even mean to be intelligent now? And maybe the real question for all this is,
how will you use what makes you uniquely human to find your own sense of meaning and purpose in this rapidly changing world?